Bibles with me to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we're going to read from verse 21 here. Colossians 1:21 says this, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." Notice here that we were actually alienated. We had separated ourselves through wicked works and even through the way we thought. But it says he's reconciled us. And it says, "In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Now I like how verse 23 starts, because it says, "If." Anybody see that? It says that he's reconciled you in the body of his flesh through death, presents you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you've heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." Now notice here that he says in verse 23, "If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled." I want to talk to you today about being grounded. You know, one thing that Christians need today is to get grounded. Actually, people need to get grounded. It's not just Christians, but since we're talking about faith and we're talking about Christians here, we'll say Christians need to be grounded. But how many knows the world needs to get grounded once again? I mean, it's kind of like the world's lost its mind, what it had. You know, we're just seeing all kinds of crazy stuff go on and all kinds of things that just don't make any common sense anymore, right? That needs to be grounded. But most of all, we Christians need to get grounded. Notice this says, you know, if we'll continue in the faith and we'll get grounded and settled. Here's the thing about being grounded and settled. What you got to do is you got to just get it settled in your heart. Get yourself settled and get yourself grounded that I'm a child of God, I serve God, and I don't care if my best friend goes crossways, I'm grounded, I'm settled, I'm going to live for Jesus, I'm not going to worry about what somebody else is doing. You see, it's funny that sometimes all it's got to do, somebody can just mess up or do something and it shipwrecks somebody else. And you know, I remember that the time when Jimmy Swaggart, you know, he made a mistake and messed up. You know, a lot of people got shipwrecked over that. You know, he wasn't their savior. Now, you know, I thank God that he's repented. He's got a ministry going again. You know, his ministry, I don't believe, will ever be where it was at because he lost confidence with people. You know, it's not that God didn't forgive him completely and all that, but he lost confidence with people. And how many knows the Bible says that we got to keep a good report of those that are without? In other words, we got to watch our reputations. Oh, come on. Some of you know, no matter what you did in your past, even though God's forgiven you, you're not the same person. There are people that still look at you about your mistakes that you made in the past, and they still recognize you and judge you on what you did in the past. How many knows you could have been a prostitute, but if you're a child of God now, that's in your past. Come on, you could have been a drug addict, but if you're a child of God now, that's in your past. Come on, somebody. You could have been a murderer. No matter what you were in your past, once you've been made a child of God and you've received Jesus as your Savior, that's forgiven. God forgets it. It's thrown to the depths of the sea, never to be remembered again. So that's in your past now. But the thing about it is people still look at you and judge you from that. So here's what I'm trying to say about that is we don't want to be looking at other people and let their life or anything they do shake us. Remember Paul when they were talking about you going up to Jerusalem and all this is going to happen to you? He said, "I realize this is all going to happen, but none of this moves me." Why? Because Paul was grounded and settled in his faith. You see, you and I got to get... I'm just going to stand before you right now. I just saw a thing, on Facebook or somewhere, talking about how Pentecostals now, the speaking in tongues is kind of falling off. Less Pentecostal folks are speaking in tongues than ever before, and less churches are promoting it. Well, that just makes sense because the devil's trying his best to get us to shut up. And churches are more interested in what's popular and whatever's politically correct than they are following God. You see, and it's never been popular with religious folks to say, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues. Because they haven't understood and they have not read and believed what the Word of God says about it. So it's always been in the body of Christ. It's always been a thing with denominational folks. They've had a problem with it. But I can take my Bible and show you how it's real, how it's for today, and how God wants you to be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues. I can prove it to you from the Word of God. So I'm not ashamed to stand before you and say that I am grounded. I am settled in the fact that I am filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives me utterance. I'm not ashamed to declare it before you. I'd go to the White House and declare it and tell the President, you need to get saved, you need to get filled with the Holy Ghost so you can speak in other tongues and maybe you hear from God. Come on, somebody. You see, so I'm just, it doesn't matter. They can call me a holy roller. They can call me anything they want to. But see, I know that I'm a born again child of God filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking other tongues. I know that the power of God resides on the inside of me. I am grounded and I'm settled in that, and you can't shake me off of that. I mean, you know, you can come at me with your religious stuff all you want to, but I'm rooted and grounded and settled in the Word of God. You see, and so that's where you and I got to be as Christians. We've just got to get it settled in us who we are. See, if I'm rooted and grounded in the faith, then I'm just going to tell you I'm a Word of Faith person. I believe that I can confess and believe something and it'll come to pass. I believe my words have power. I believe Mark 11:23 that says, I can say to this mountain, be cast into the sea and not doubt in my heart, but believe the things I say will come to pass and I'll have whatever I say. I believe that. And if you don't believe it, then you've got a problem because that's what the Word says. And see, my faith is not based on just what I believe. My faith is based upon what the Word says. You see, so we've got to understand, we've got to get ourselves grounded, and we've got to get it settled in our heart that we're walking in the truth as much as possible. Come on, as much as humanly possible, I'm walking in the truth, and I'm settled with it. I don't have any problem with it. Come on, see, some of you looking at me funny. Listen, if the Bible, if one part of that Bible is wrong, then we're in trouble. So we better just get it settled now that that whole Word is true and that our faith stands in the Word of God. And so I'm going to be rooted, I'm going to be settled, I'm going to be grounded in that Word. You see, and I don't care what another denomination's doing. I don't care what another preacher's saying. And see, that's what's going on right now on national TV. We've got all these new doctrines that are coming out. You got everybody getting on the bandwagon of these new doctrines, these new grace doctrines. Grace has always been here. That's how you got saved. You're saved by grace through faith. Come on. They're not teaching anything the Bible doesn't say, except for when they start getting it to the point that says, you know, once you got saved, you don't ever have to worry about anything else. I just gave you a scripture. If you continue in the faith. Well, now, wait a minute. If I can't backslide, what do I got to worry about continuing in the faith for? See, I mean, I can just take you scripture after scripture after scripture that shows you that you're not once saved, always saved. The only way you stay always saved is to want to stay saved. You continue in the faith, rooted, grounded, settled. Come on. And see, that's where I want us to be. I want to make sure that we're settled. I don't want us to be easily shaken. Amen. See, here's the thing about this, folks, and let me help you understand this. I'm not an electrician, but I do understand a little bit about electric. Been shocked a few times, you know. Never did care to experiment, you know, and I'm just one of those dummies that if I'm working on a light switch, I'm not real bad to go turn the light on, go to the breaker and find the breaker that makes the light go off. I'm one of those that pulls out the light switch, and I realize that if I handle one wire at a time and don't touch both of them, then I can change that light switch out. See, because I know how electricity works, okay? Electric works on a circuit. It's like a round circle, okay? You have hot, you have ground. So as long as I'm working on the light switch and I only touch one wire at a time, I can touch the hot wire. I can touch the wire that has the juice on it and just touch it and hold it and wire it on there and it won't do a thing in this world to me. You know why? Because I'm not grounded. Now, believe me, I've worked on the hot wire a few times and maybe be messing around there and stick my hand up against a piece of metal that's there. And believe me, I knew I got grounded. Okay, so what I'm trying to say to you is, just like electric works, you have to have the hot, you have to have a ground to make that circuit work, and then your lights will work. Okay, now I can hold it again. I can have a hold of the hot, ain't nothing happening. But I get a hold of the ground, believe me, I know I'm grounded. If you say, well, what's that got to do with God? Well, see, there's a lot of people hooked up with God, but ain't nothing happening. Come on. They say they love God. They say they're born again. But the truth is, they're just as flighty, serial Christians, flaky. Come on. Carnal. They're not settled and grounded in the faith. It's because, see, once you get grounded, then there's going to be power flow through you. When that power flows through you, it's going to change your life. You won't have somebody call you and say, why haven't you been to church in a while? There's power flowing through you. You want to go to church. Come on, somebody. You don't have to have somebody call a prayer meeting because you're still praying. Somebody don't got to make you read your Bible. You want to read your Bible. Come on now, somebody. And you say, well, you know, a lot of us don't read our Bible. Well, get grounded. Come on, get settled. You'd rather be settled in the reality shows on TV or settled in the Word. Come on now, don't get mad at me because I'm preaching good here. I know I'm getting on to somebody because, see, we're hooked up. America is hooked on reality shows, no matter how stupid they are. And they call it reality, and that's what Americans think. It's real. You know, at least I like this about Duck Dynasty. I like that Phil Robinson says, we just play dumb on TV. Come on, anybody ever seen that? He said, everybody thinks we're dumb. He said, we play dumb on TV. He said, but really, we're very smart. He's got a college education, could have taught school. And you don't get a multi-million-dollar business by being stupid. Come on. But if people love the show, and they're making millions of dollars off from it. But it's so amazing how many people think that stuff is real. Come on. Anybody think just those guys in that one room is the one who makes all the duck calls there? Come on. Yeah. It's just like you thinking one of those Survivor things that they're all out there on that desert island just trying to, they're just barely making it. And they're crying on TV and how hard it is. And, you know, they don't show you the whole camp of trailers and caviar and all the, everything over to the side that they go eat after they do the show. Come on. But you see, we're hooked on that stuff. We think it's reality. No. We need to be settled in what's real, and that's the Word. And too many Americans and too many Christians are more caught up in TV and those kind of things than they are the Word of God. So they're not really settled. They're really shaky. Come on now. That's why they want to call, you know, 911's first thing, the first sign of a little trouble. Come on now. That's why they run to the doctor with every little sniffle. Hey, it's real quiet right now. I realize I'm stepping on a few toes, but what I'm trying to do is, folks, is to help you understand, we need to be rooted and established in the Word of God, in our faith. What do we believe? Do we believe He's the healer or not? Come on, do we believe He's the baptizer and the Holy Ghost or not? Do we believe that all power in heaven and earth has been given to us and go ye therefore or not? Come on. See, we've got to get this settled in our heart. How are you going to convince somebody else if you're not convinced yourself? You've got to understand that, see? So he says, you know, we've got to be settled. We've got to be grounded. And, you know, the only way to be grounded is in faith is to be grounded in the Word of God. Isn't that right? So we've got to get that Word. We've got to have the Word so we're grounded in the Word. And when somebody... It's the best answer you ever gave a religious person when they asked you a question is Scripture. You know, because they'll look at you and say, well, now, just exactly what do you fellas believe up your church about tongues? You know, well, see, you don't answer what we believe at the church. What you do is you answer what the Word says. You tell them what the Word says about tongues. You go to Acts chapter 2 and show where, you know, the Holy Ghost came into the place there and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. You show them that. You go over and you show them how Peter's preaching in Acts chapter 10 and why he's still preaching. Everybody in Cornelius' family gets saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. You go over to Acts chapter 19. You show them how Paul came down to Ephesus and found some believers there that hadn't been filled with the Holy Ghost. They hadn't even heard of the Holy Ghost. And when he preached and told them about it, they got filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues and prophesy. Come on, you show them those things. You show them in Acts chapter 8 how Philip was preaching at Samaria and how everybody got saved and got filled with the Holy Ghost. And Simon the sorcerer saw how they got filled and he wanted to be able to pay money to get to lay hands on people to get them filled with the Holy Ghost. You show them how it's through in the Word of God. You show them over there where Paul says, I thank God that I speak with tongues more than y'all. Come on. See, you go to those things and you show them how in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, how you conduct yourself when you're filled with the Holy Ghost as far as the gifts operate. You show them 1 Corinthians chapter 12, how there's the gifts of the Spirit that'll operate through a believer that's been filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized. Come on now. See, you show them those things. You don't give them your answer, your opinion. You tell them what the Word says. They want to argue, let them argue with God. Come on. Well, how many knows there ain't no arguing with God? He's right. And so to be grounded and established, it means to be grounded in the Word, but not just grounded in the Word, folks. Let me show you something here. Go with me over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, look at verse 14. Now this is one of Paul's prayers here in Ephesians. It's a good idea for you to just take this prayer and pray for yourself. In other words, put it in first content here. You'd say, for this cause I bow my knees to the Father, Lord, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant unto me, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in my heart by faith, that me, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ with passive knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And that's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, right on down through 20 or through 19. Notice here that he says that we might be rooted and grounded in love in verse 17. Rooted and grounded in love. Now, I know somebody's thinking, well, you know, what's so important about that? Well, number one, notice here it says, if we're rooted and grounded in love, we'll be able to comprehend with the saints what's the breadth, length, depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. But that's not the most important thing here. What's so important about you and I being rooted and grounded in love is found over in Galatians chapter 5. So jump right over there. I want to just teach you. It's all right if we just teach this a little bit. Because we need to understand what we believe, why we believe, and understand that we need to be grounded in this thing and know it, folks. I mean, it's so sad that most Christians don't know their Bible. I mean, come on. How would you like it if your lawyer didn't know the law? Come on, think about it. Your doctor didn't know about medicine. It's the same principle. We're Christians called by the name of Christ. And most of us don't even know the books of the Bible or where favorite scriptures are and don't even know the scriptures. Come on, let's just put it where it's at. I'm not trying to bring condemnation to you. I'm just saying it's so important that we get grounded and settled in the Word of God in our faith. Look here at Galatians chapter 5. We'll back up to verse 5 here, and it says, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but what? Faith which worketh by love. Anybody else see that? Faith which worketh by love. So see, what I'm trying to get at here is even though we're trying to get established and grounded in our faith and we know we got to have the Word of God in order to do that, we also got to operate in love if we expect our faith to be effective. Come on. Operate in love. You know, a lot of people really don't walk in love. They tolerate people. Come on. But the Bible says that you and I need to love. Remember the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. That's the commandment Jesus gave. Love your neighbor. Boy, that, I tell you what, that means a lot. Come on, how many of us are really doing that? When's the last time you went to your neighbor and bought him a new outfit of clothes? Oh, it got quiet there, didn't it? Think about that for a minute. Think about everything you do for yourself because you love yourself. And it says to love your neighbor as yourself. So see, we got a lot of work to do in the love area, right? Come on, we say we love each other, but you know, and we hope that we do, but a lot of times we don't express it like we should. But he says our faith will work by love here. Now, here's the thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2, listen to what Paul says. 1 Corinthians 13, 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. The word charity there is translated love. Notice what he says. It doesn't matter if I got faith to move mountains. It don't matter if I got all knowledge. If I don't operate in love, then it's not going to do me any good. I'm nothing. And so we've got to learn to operate in love. And I realize that some people are hard to love. Right? But it doesn't matter. You've got to understand there's different kinds of love. And we don't have time. That's a whole other sermon. But there's the kind of God kind of love. There's a brotherly love. And then there's like an erotic love. So there's different kinds of love if you study it out in the Word of God. What he's telling us here is to have agape love. Agape is the Greek word for the God kind of love. We're to love people like God loves people. I love my wife much differently than I love you all. Do you understand that? That's what I'm trying to say. I love you, but I love my wife with a different kind of love. Okay? And so when Paul's writing here and talking about that faith works by love and that, you know, we're to love one another, we're to love one another with a brotherly love. Okay? It's a philia love is actually the Greek word there. And that's where they get the Philadelphia, the city of love. This comes from that Greek word philia, which means a brotherly love. And so you and I are to have that brotherly love because our faith will not work. The Bible says, if you don't love your brother who you can see, how can you love God whom you can't see? See, so we got to love one another if we're going to love God. If we want our faith to work, then we got to love one another. And that don't mean there ain't people that really get under your skin. But you love them as a brother and sister. How many know sometimes Christians can be the worst? They can just really eke you. But you still got to love them. Come on, with a brotherly love. So Paul says, I've got to love or my faith's not going to work. Matter of fact, he goes down verse 13 there of chapter 13. It says, and now about a faith, hope, charity, and these three, but the greatest of these is charity or love. Notice he says faith, hope, or love. All three of them abide, but the greatest is love. Now, you see, when we're walking in love, how many knows if you love somebody, it's a lot easier to forgive them? Come on now. So that helps you to be grounded in the Word. That says, you know, Mark 11, 24 actually says, you know, 25 says, when you stand praying, make sure that you forgive as you're praying. So that your Heavenly Father can forgive you. Because if you don't forgive others' trespasses against you, then neither will your Heavenly Father forgive your trespasses against Him. So see how important love is in this thing. That's why faith works by love. But here's the thing. I want you to understand that you and I need to be established in the Word. We need to be established in love so that we can be a well-balanced person. You see, a well-balanced person or grounded person is a person that's able to balance the natural and the supernatural. Come on now. If you're really grounded in the Word of God, you're not one of them spiritual freakies. And I don't know if you've ever been around many of them or not. I've been around a few. They act so spiritual and act like they just all the time acting yee, 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 you know. And the truth is, they're not grounded. They're real easily shaken. And the way you know they're not stable is because they never find a church and settle down there. They never get grounded and settled because everywhere they go, they think they're more spiritual than the people that are there. And most of the time, they think they're more spiritual than the pastor that's there. So they never get grounded anywhere. They're only spiritual in their own mind because they're not doing what the Word says. Come on now. So that kind of person is a person, a grounded person is a person that's able to balance between the spirit and the supernatural, the spirit and the natural. Let me give you a little example of that real quick. Remember over in the book of Acts, where I think it's Acts 28, where Paul and they get shipwrecked there. Luke's on the boat. He wrote the book of Acts, and in this particular case, he's saying we, so that means he's present. Luke was present for part of Paul's journeys, and for part he wasn't. So you can notice the difference between when Luke's saying we did this and we did that, then you know that he was there at the time. And when he's talking about they did that, they did this, you know he was taking now the word of what they're telling him about their journeys. And so he wrote the book of Acts. And so here in this particular case, he's on the ship. He's the one that's there when they crash. Remember, Rockledon comes, the great windstorm. They end up crashed on an island with barbarians. The barbarians are friendly to them. Remember, that's where Paul got bit by the snake. They thought he was going to die. Then they thought he was a god. But it just so happened that the chief of the island's father was sick. Now, Luke's a physician by occupation. Okay? He's traveling with Paul. You've got a man over here, the chief of the island, or a chief man of the island, whose father's sick. Luke doesn't go in and try to practice medicine on this man that's sick. The Bible says that Paul went in, laid his hands on him, and healed him. Luke never got in the way. Luke never said, wait a minute now, Paul, you're not licensed to practice medicine. I'm the physician here. I'll go in and see what I can do for him. See, you ought to understand, Luke was grounded. And he realized this is a spiritual matter. I do have abilities. I've been taught. I am a physician. But I'm going to submit myself to the Spirit of God, and we'll let God work on this one. I'm grounded enough to know I don't got to put my hands in this. We'll let God do it. You see, now, on the same turn of that, we got to understand when it comes to doctors, a well-grounded person also understands there's a time to go to the doctor. Come on now. I mean, you know, I know that there's religions, practice playing with snakes and all that stuff. I'm going to use you, Sister Melanie, if that's okay. Sister Melanie got bit by a poisonous snake, and she had enough smarts. She was grounded enough, even though they're very spiritual people. They love God, deacons in the church. But they also had enough balance about them to realize, I've been bit by a poisonous snake. Yes, God can heal me. I know where there's some antivenom at the hospital. Come on. You see, what people have died because they're trying to prove their faith by not going to a doctor after they've been bitten by a poisonous snake. You see, you've got to be grounded. Balanced, church. There's a balance. I'm spiritual. But I'm also, I know how to handle myself in the natural. Now, do I ever lose my temper? Sure I do. Absolutely do, sometimes. Some situation just flies over me. Some things are just gets on me. And you know, I wanted to hit some people before, recently. You know, I hated it afterward, but I wanted to at the time. Just flew up on me. Situation, you know, going on, some things, and know the devil's working, and you just want to. But I'm grounded enough that I didn't. I'm balanced enough that I didn't. You see? But that don't keep me from being spiritual either. You know, you just don't let that natural override. You stay balanced. You stay grounded. So see, a grounded person, they know how to balance themselves in the natural and the spirit. And here's the thing too. You don't have to worry about a grounded person running off at the first sign of trouble and getting all tore up and excited the first sign of trouble. Remember over in 2 Kings, Elisha, God's been talking to Elisha, and actually God is telling Elisha where the king of Syria is going to be at and where he's going to attack and where his ambushes are. So every time that the king of Syria sets up an ambush for the king of Israel, Elisha would tell the king of Israel and they would avoid the ambush. And to the point that the king of Syria finally says, he just gathers up his men and says, all right, which one of you all are for the king of Israel? You know, and one of them speaks up and says, none, my lord, it's Elisha. He tells things that he knows things that you talk about in your bedchamber. Nobody else knows them, but he knows. And so the king of Syria sends down a troop after Elisha, and he and his servant are down in this house, and the servant goes out the next morning and looks on the mountain, and there's the whole army of Syria. Got them surrounded. And he goes back into Elisha there, and he says, master, how shall we do? That's what he says. And he says, you know, he said, don't worry about it. I mean, here's a guy grounded. Elisha was grounded. You know, yeah, I'm going to tell you something. You run around with Elijah a while, you better be grounded. You remember Elijah? Let fire fall from heaven. You better be grounded around a guy like that. You don't really want to lose your temper around him. You don't really want him angry at you. Elisha's grounded. And he looks at his servant. He says, there's more of us than there are them. I mean, you know, the servant's just been outside and saw him surrounded. Saw him surrounded on the mountain. And he's walking, he's looking, there's two of us. I just saw an army. You know, he's got to be thinking right now, Elisha has lost it. But Elisha just says, Lord, open up his eyes and let him see. And when God opened up the eyes of the servant, when he looked out there, he saw the whole army of God that had the army of Syria surrounded. He saw the horses of fire and chariots of fire. He saw God's army there. And the Bible said that that army of Syria descended down on Elisha. Elisha's still not excited. He's still grounded because he knows what he believes and he knows who he believes in. And he just looks up and says, God, just blind their eyes for a season. They all went blind. And here they come now. Instead of attacking Elisha, they're trying to find help. And Elisha says, well, I can take you to some help. And he leads them right into the army of Israel. And they take them all captive. You see, that's somebody that's grounded. God wants you and I to be grounded, church. And understand something. I said electric has to have a ground to flow through. Do you know God's got to have you and I grounded so He can flow through you and I? Come on. God's not looking to flow through flakes. Can I just say that? He's not looking to try to flow through somebody that thinks they're more spiritual than He is. I don't even pretend to know everything God knows. I know God reveals things to me by according to the Word through His Spirit. And I know things because God shows them to me. But I'm not going to pretend I'm super spiritual. I'm just like you. I have the anointing of God. And God can speak to any one of us at any time and reveal something by His Spirit if He wants to. And He does quite frequently to us all. But at the same time, I don't want to be so dull and so ungrounded that God can't flow through me. You understand that? I don't want to be disconnected from God to where He cannot flow through me so that He can talk to me and I can do something for Him when He tells me to. See, God's looking for us to rise up. Listen, I think we're going to see times before Jesus comes. Now, this is just me, okay? But I think we'll see times before Jesus comes that this world is going to need some folks that are grounded. Somebody that knows what the Word of God says, believes what it says, and believes that God will do what He says He will do. Not, well, this might work for you. Now, you might try reading this and see if that helps you any. How many knows that ain't what we're going to need in these last days? Come on, we're going to need in the last day somebody to say, well, if you need healing in your body, you need to read 1 Peter 2:24, because by His stripes you were healed. You just need to read that, believe that, get that in you, and just receive your healing from God, because He will heal you if you ask Him. Not He might, or He will if it's His will, because we already just established that by His stripes you were healed. So it's not a question of will He already has according to His Word. It's a question of where will you receive it or not? Will you believe it? See, that's the kind of grounding we've got to have, church. One, that we believe that Word's true, and if it's not, just shoot me now. Come on, if it's not true, then we might just throw it all out because we're living vanity. But see, I believe it's true. And I believe every word is true. And I believe God is who He said He was. And is who He says He is. Okay? I believe God does do what He says He does. I don't believe He just did it. I believe He still does it. And we've got to get rooted and got to get it settled in our heart. This Word is true. Jesus Christ is coming soon. He's coming after His church. He's coming after those that have been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Those that have made Jesus Christ their Lord. We got to get grounded and understand and know that. Jesus is not coming after those that are just hoping they're going. He's not coming after those that are just good people. Come on. We need to get a hold of this. Just because somebody goes to church don't mean they're going to heaven. It's only those that have received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Those that are living for Him. Amen? We got to get grounded in what we believe and stand on it. When people ask us, we need to be able to give an answer. Stand to your feet with me.